For Thomas Matters Radio, this is Mark Collier, once again with the Informed Voters Project. I'm joined today by Fort Thomas City Council candidate John Muller. John lives on Fisher Avenue. He's got a wife, Terry, and three kids. So this is brought to you by Omega Processing Solutions. John, how are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Absolutely. I appreciate you being on the Informed Voters Project. Tell me a little bit about yourself professionally, John.
I'm a physical therapist by original clinical training. So my background is as a physical therapist. And then I got a nursing home administrator's license in 2006. So physical therapy, thought I was going to work with athletes and outpatients, and I quickly figured out there's not a lot of athletes.
Except for our weekend warriors,
our
right?
Our bluebirds, though, are fabulous athletes, and NUCATH, right? And I just, I ended up falling in love with treating and working with seniors and senior population. So that was my physical therapy, geriatric emphasis, and then as a nursing home administrator, that's pretty clear what my emphasis is.
Sure, sure. So you're also, you're on the Campbell County Y Board, the Northern Kentucky Chamber of Commerce Board. You were part of that Leadership Northern Kentucky program. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that program and how maybe, you know, that will kind of help you as you transition to try to be on Fort Thomas City Council.
Right. So Leadership Northern Kentucky it's a really nice experience. It adds depth to your understanding, at least to mine. It added a great deal of depth to understanding of a lot of different issues. So, I don't know, perhaps like most of us, I'm in a pretty niche, what I do is a pretty niche
field, yeah.
Profession mm-hmm. and field. So I didn't understand all the education. You know, let's go to the education. We had Education Day. You have Health and Welfare Day, which the social service side of things. There's Business Development Day, which I'm interested in economic development.
Sure, and we'll talk about that here in a second.
So it just, you saw sides of Northern Kentucky that I might not have seen just living in practicing in Fort Thomas.
So good opportunity for you then. Mm-hmm. So your question and answer that you prepared for Fort Thomas Matters, let's talk a little bit about that. In that, you talk about the reason that you wanted to run for Fort Thomas City Council. And I'm going to quote you here. It says, "Our community made a significant difference in our lives." You're talking about yours and Terry's. And this is a primary reason I want to serve as a positive contribution back to the city. So I guess talk about how the community made a significant difference for you two.
So I might get emotional. I'll try not to. Our son got sick when he was four, and so we had pretty much just moved here. I think we moved here when he was we moved into our new house when he was two. And we're not from here originally, although we both have sought this place out for the quality of life that it has. And then it turns out that it has so much more to add that you don't know. So we were in a tough spot. Luke was sick. We needed we just needed help and emotional and support. And the people rallied around us like nothing I'd really ever experienced. So that's when I talk about the community has given us a great deal. They have. And hopefully I have some capacity to lead and some capacity to have some
compassion and back for the community.
Ability to give back civically.
That's one of the best reasons that I think that anybody has come up with their reason as to why they want to run. Everybody thinks they can add a little bit, you know, of professional development, whatever it may be, and that seems like it's a pretty good reason. So some of the things that you talked about that might be able to, you know, have an opportunity for growth, to your point, is economic development. Mm-hmm. You talk about some of the vacancies just kind of running through town and seeing some, you know, either boarded up windows or I guess facilities that are not being used to the extent that they maybe could. I guess what do you think that, you know, you would propose the economic director do for Fort Thomas to make Fort Thomas a little bit more attractive for businesses?
I would start by asking her what she needs to make it that way, and ask the other businesses that have been successful here, that have located here, the newer ones that have located, the ones that have been here for many years and thrive. We want a very livable community. And we, by and large, have that. There's definitely capacity that we can do more. I think NKU is just, it is just exploding. And we have such good proximity to that. The Newport Pavilion is exploding. So there's development right around it. There's so much we can do. And obviously we love to live here, but it's, we need it to be a thriving, very livable community to enhance the quality of all of our lives. So I'm interested in how council can support the Economic Development Department at the City of Fort Thomas, which I think is a department of one.
Yeah, yeah. So, maybe a couple. Right. Yeah.
So what can we do? And so I want to listen and see what we can do as a council to support, to work with our state legislative caucus, with economic development programs the state offers, and how we can get those back here to our city.
To your point on, you know, the state component, I know that you're not certified lobbyist by any means, but you do have some, experience lobbying down in Frankfort with your professional job. We'll skip ahead a little bit in our questioning. What do you think we could do a little bit different, or maybe we don't do anything different as far as working with our state representatives, our state senate, to bring more tax monies back to the region, Northern Kentucky in general, and Fort Thomas, assuredly, almost gets nothing from the state. If John Mueller is on city council, what do you propose to kind of do to make that change?
We've had I believe we've had a good history of representation, and we certainly have had a consistent history of representation in Frankfort. That will change this year due to retirement, so we'll have a new senator. I think the council, we just want to be aligned as much as we can possibly be aligned in what we need.
Do you think that's happening now?
I don't know enough to say. So what I do know is I'm interested in it. I spend time in Frankfort for what I do, as you said, Mark. I'm not a registered lobbyist, but we do. The state has a great deal of overview of what it is we do and operationally and planning for the future. So we have good relationships with the legislators, and I'd hope to continue that good relationship with what we need in Fort Thomas. The reality is, as you said, and I said this in the Q&A, Northern Kentucky, Fort Thomas in general, really the Golden Triangle of Kentucky, sends more money to Frankfort than it will ever get back. However, if we don't ask, if we don't have a well-thought-out wish list, a well-planned-out things that we want that make a case for them, then we'll certainly never get anything back.
Got to ask for it if you're going to get anything at all. Worst they can say is no, right?
And then you keep asking.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about, you know, some specific issues that have come up in the interim since your Q&A. By the way, if you want to read John Mueller's Q&A, you can go to FortThomasMatters.com. There is an election 2014 tab where all of the city council candidates have completed a Q&A. So make sure you go there and you can see John's words on paper. The walking path around the reservoir. You and I have talked. That was one of the main, one of the main attractions that you saw when you moved to Fort Thomas. Mm-hmm. What can we do to get that path up and going? Or do you think it should be opened up?
Yeah. So when we moved here, we moved to Warren Court, was our first house. And that was a great bonus to be able to have those paths down on that side of town, I thought. And certainly they can serve almost all of the city. I would want to know, and do want to know, September 11th of 2001 was a long time ago. And there's threats in the world now that are far beyond my pay grade to understand. Those paths don't seem like an imminent threat. So try to get to the bottom of this. I think this seems like a good opportunity where we talk about regionalism. Judge Pendry talks about that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If those are under the purview of the water district, or you know, who do we need to talk to? How do we need to figure out what the good, what are the reasons? Are they good reasons? Are they reasons that can be overcome and reopen those paths?
Let's move on. You talk about continuing to support police and fire. That's obviously something that has struck a chord with you.
Yeah, public safety. So Terry and I are raising our kids here, 13, 11.
Two at Moyer, one at Highlands Middle, right?
Well, since we wrote that, it switched.
Okay. Right?
So two at the middle school now.
Okay.
Two at the middle school, one at Moyer. And public safety is, again, it's one of the qualities of life that we enjoy. And we got excellent services, excellent fire, excellent police, excellent EMS. I get to work with those folks when they in our line of work. They all do, they're very professional and do a great job. So whatever they need, you know, whatever they need to keep us safe and protected is, as a council member, what I'm interested in making sure we work through. There's bad stuff in the world, and, you know, I don't think, it's no secret, heroin is everywhere, and it knows no city boundaries. However, we need to do whatever we can to keep our place, our city safe.
So you talk about a lot in your job, the plan, do, study, and act model, I guess, as a way to kind of make decisions. So I guess with the plan, do, study, act model, in regards to breed-specific legislation, how would you use that model in making a decision if you are on city council?
So this was not an issue when I filed to run for council, but these are the things that come up. So I'm happy to talk about it. And the Plan, Do, Study, Act is how do you approach a problem? How do you approach any problems? You plan the work, plan what you're going to do to prepare for it. You study the issue, you know, and then you go into some action and assess it with the doing and the action. So planning, over the summer, I've talk to as many people as I can. And I certainly get a sense, 9 out of 10 of every person I talk to is not in favor of repealing the ordinance. That is what I hear. So as a representative, that's what I would take as my initial approach. You know, right now, the way I read this, I'm not in favor of repealing the ban. Also, I think there should be a parallel track. It sounds like we're on this, of making the aggressive dog or making a more robust, vicious, nuisance, aggressive dog ordinance. So we need to have parallel tracks. But until you have the one track completed, you can't repeal.
So you believe that the path that they're on right now, which is gives the animal control in the city more robust, control of nuisance, vicious, dangerous animals. You believe that is the first thing that needs to happen. The way that they are attacking the problem right now is the correct path as it is right now.
It seems that way to me.
And then just based on who you've talked to, your inclination would be to leave the ban as is currently with more substantial penalty on owners as they're doing right now. Those are the two prongs that you're suggesting.
I think you've got to keep the ordinance that exists in place. It occurs to me parts of that ordinance we should look at and talk about, but the ordinance itself has to stay in place until you would work through the system the other way. You can't just take that out because of your problems with that without having another solution in place that's enforceable.
So another solution would basically be, you know, look at other cities' models that have maybe a breed neutral ordinance in place, looking and doing a work plan, do, study, act model with some of those breed neutral cities like Fort Mitchell or Villa Hills, studying to see if those breed neutral ordinances are effective in increasing public safety, because at the end of the day, that's what this ban is intended to do, is to increase public safety. And, you know, once you get that first component figured out, then it's time to maybe study a different one.
Right. That, I think that's fair. What I'm most interested in, I think a lot of people are most interested, I hope, is the quality of life we have. One of the great things in Fort Thomas, Terry runs early in the morning. I like to go out for walks later in the evening, you know, especially this time of night. You know, it's 9 o'clock, it's late, but you still want to take a walk.
Sure.
I want us to be safe.
Sure.
When we do that.
Sure.
I don't want to have to worry, and I don't want the kids to have to worry. I don't want seniors to have to worry.
Sure.
So that's the goal. That's the goal.
Sure.
And I'm eager to work with council.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I think that's what everybody wants. Everybody wants, you know, legislation in place that actually makes public education, public safety, puts a premium on that. And I think if we can all get on the same page with that, I think everybody will be happy. So let's move on. One of the things that just came up in the last week was the speed limit. We had a fatality that occurred in the summertime on Memorial Parkway. Terrible tragedy, something that, you know, statistically is going to happen. One of the things that was brought up in council was that looking at some of the side streets, not necessarily Memorial Parkway or Fort Thomas Avenue or Highland Avenue, but the side streets, they're looking at, you know, possibly decreasing the speed limit on some of those streets. Chief Daly talked about when he's driving on his street, he drives at a not necessarily what the speed limit is, but basically however fast it'll require to feel safe and to make sure that your neighbors are safe. Would you be in favor of possibly looking at lowering some of the speed limits on some of the side streets in Fort Thomas?
Yes.
Right. That's an easy answer. I guess what some people believe is that, you know, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here, you know, you can't necessarily safeguard against everything. And at the end of the day, you can lower the speed limit, but that necessarily is not going to, people aren't going to either A, adhere to it, or B, Mary Brown, and I'm going to quote her, that's a parent issue, that the parents should be the ones to tell their kids not to play in the streets. So I guess with that in mind, it's...
Well, that could be, you know, it's a double parent issue, right? And on the street we live in, people, I perceive, and some of my neighbors perceive, but I certainly perceive, they drive too fast from time to time. And sometimes it's kids. It's the younger drivers. And so I guess we kind of group parent them when we ask them to slow down. So sure. It, personal responsibility. And so if Chief Daly's already saying that he self-selects to drive at a slower speed, then that's great. If there's no impact to public safety, I don't know the transport times or commute times or any. I'm interested to hear both sides of the discussion, mm-hmm. But so personally, the street we live in, both the kids and some of the drivers, the kids should stay out of the street. The drivers should not go 40.
Yeah. Fort Thomas Independent Schools and the city they both took a 4% increase. You know, we're sitting on a $11 million plus surplus, in the general fund right now, as a city. Do you believe that the city needs to take those 4% tax increases each year, and especially with the $11 million surplus. And I guess, how would you handle the budgetary process as a council member?
So this is an area I'm interested in learning more about. So it's one of the side reasons I wanted to run, to learn more about this. When I've read and followed it along, it seems to me what I've read is that the 4%, not unlike a little bit in our industry, if you don't take that, you don't get matching funds from Medicaid. You know, there's some tag along properties, and I'm not sure if those are here or not. So I'm interested in learning more about it. We want a very financially healthy and robust city in which to live. It adds to the quality of life. At the same time, we don't want to be overtaxed. I think we probably already have that reputation anyway. So I want to learn more about that. I'm a fiscally conservative. I think that is my nature, is to be fiscally conservative. So I'm eager to learn more about that and figure out why. I guess some of the reasons I've read in the past is that it's a requirement. So I'm interested to see.
We are sitting in an elevator. We've got 30 seconds. Give me your John Mueller for Thomas City Council speech.
I want to serve. I've studied, along with doing what I do, I've studied leadership, and I've studied group dynamics of working together, and I've always been interested in civics and public duty. So I want to serve. I'm eager to learn. I will. You can trust me that I'm going to work hard. I'm going to study. You can trust that I'm committed to excellence, both in my work and in this endeavor on council. And I believe Fort Thomas is the best place around.
I agree, John. I agree. That's a great stump speech. We're going to end it there. The Informed Voters Project is sponsored by Omega Processing Solutions. If you're a small business, you have credit card payments that you need to process, make sure you check them out there on Alexandria Pike, just over next to Anita's Mexican Grill. So we thank Omega Processing Solutions. For John Mueller, this is Mark Collier with Fort Thomas Matters Radio. Until next time, and if you want to check John's Q&A, you can go to fortthomasmatters.com and click the Election 2014 tab.